We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics on this Saturday morning. Glad you're listening. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri.
And I'm Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And this is
Wrestling with the Basics.
Okay.
And this is the first Saturday in October.
Yes, and by the way, if you want to come and join us at noon, rush down to New Athens, come down to the bullpen, the bar and grill there in New Athens, because we're having our annual bike run today.
Oh, great.
Well, this is our fifth year that we do that. We just kind of drive around town, stop at some of the local eating and drinking places, and have a little refreshment, and then we come back for prizes at 3 o'clock.
So it's a bike run? Shouldn't it be a bike pedal?
That's true. You're right. I don't know why I said a bike run. That's probably not.
Are they bicycles, or are they like Harleys?
No, it is bikes. No. Bike. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, not motorcycles. Like
Bikes.
Yeah,
bicycles.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a bike ride, I guess.
Bike ride.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So I've been to the bullpen. It's good eats. Yeah, so except
good food.
And then,
go ahead.
Well, then I extend an invitation out to Ascension as well. Busy Saturday today.
Yeah.
Later this evening, about 6:30, we have a special concert. Our worship team,
really?
A concert and food and refreshments. And then this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, we have a special organ concert. Concert organist Dan Miller is going to be out at Ascension. So, kind of a musical celebration this coming week. So, listeners, if you're in the South City area, stop by southwest corner of Francis Park. We're right there.
So what time is the thing tonight?
We get there about 6:30. Concert will start at 7.
Okay, and what concert is this?
So this is our worship team. We have a group of musicians so we have a guitar and saxophone and drums, and just put on a nice contemporary Christian music concert. So that takes place in the evening.
So we've got your day planned for you then. You can come and you can go bike ride with us in New Athens from about noon to 3, get some prizes there. You'll have stuff to eat there, and then head back over to Ascension. You'll have plenty of time to get cleaned up and everything, showered, and go there for the concert and the goodies there too.
I cannot imagine a better Saturday than what you just described.
I have church at 6, so I won't be able to make it to the concert, but I hope everything goes really well for you.
Thanks. Well, we do have church at 5 o'clock. You come at 5 to worship, and then you just, that's the way we design it. People can just stick around then, enjoy the concert, and make an evening of it.
And here's the great thing, then you can sleep in on Sunday morning to recover from all the activity and exercise you did on this Saturday. Well,
and
all right.
Perhaps needless to say, Ted Drews just blocks away. Just want to throw that in there.
That's right.
Perfect place to go after a concert.
After the concert, go get some ice. Well, I tell you what, people thought they were just going to listen to find out some good things from the Word of God, but actually we've given them a perfect day.
I know. Look at that. The custom made. So as soon as we're off the air, just start driving to New Athens.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you got plenty of time.
Well, they do.
It's just 9:30 by the time we're done. We're not starting until noon, so
New Athens isn't that far away.
It's not that far away.
From St. Louis, downtown.
About an hour drive. Yeah, not even that. I think you could probably get there in 50 minutes.
And this time of year, I'm sure it's beautiful.
It is, that's right.
New Athens in the fall.
See the trees changing and everything. And, you know, we do have the Casey's, and they have ice cream, too. So you could start off with ice cream, and you could end with ice cream then.
Oh, perfect.
Yes,
it's
soft
gets
serve
better
and then
and
the concrete.
Better.
The soft to begin and the concrete to finish. So there you go.
Perfect. Look at that.
All right. What we want to talk about today, now that we've done our commercials.
Yeah, what do we want to talk about today?
I'd like to talk about...
Right now, there's no time for foolishness.
I'd like to talk about mean Jesus.
Wait, I just said there's no time for foolishness.
No,
mean Jesus.
Mean Jesus.
Is it Jesus nice?
Well, now, if for those that have been following the three-year series, and a lot of churches do that, we've got this revised, I don't know, there's initials for it, but a lot of churches use it. Episcopalians use it. I think Roman Catholics use it. A lot of churches use this three-year lectionary. And so we've been doing the Gospel of Mark. Do you guys use the three-year
lectionary? Yes, so yeah, okay. We have same readings, yes.
So we had this story a few weeks ago where Jesus was just, he was just rude. Because the Syrophoenician woman, remember that story? She came to him and she said, oh, Jesus, you know, I've got this daughter. She's possessed by a demon.
Oh, yeah, that's the time Jesus called her a dog, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's not right to give the bread of the children to the dogs, he says, and stuff. So that was pretty rude. Although, I don't know, the woman, she said, well, you know, the dogs eat the crumbs.
Yeah.
So you call me a dog if you want, but hey, give me some crumbs.
And he does. Things work out pretty well. He gives healing.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's right. In Matthew, how great your faith is, and the daughter's healed. But I actually ran across a story where he's even meaner than that. I thought that was pretty mean, but I actually ran across a story we had a few weeks ago where I think he's actually even meaner.
Quit making things
no,
up.
No, I'm not making it up. This is the truth. In fact, if you'll read
mean
along with
Jesus.
Me, mean Jesus. Let's do chapter 9 of Mark, verse 14, if you don't mind reading.
Okay, Mark 9, verse 14. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Mean Jesus. Let's see. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them.
Okay, yeah, I probably should set the context. Jesus, James, John, and Peter have been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. So Jesus has been glorified before them, bright white, shining, whiter than any human cleaner could make. The voice saying, this is my beloved son, listen to him. But now they've come down to the mountain. They've got this kind of hubbub. A hubbub is going on here, Matt, with the scribes and the disciples and the great crowd.
Yeah, this is a bad kind of hubbub. That's the kind of hubbub you're going to run into in New Athens at the bullpen this afternoon.
That's right. That's a good hubbub.
That's a good hubbub.
Or at the concert tonight.
Yeah, that's right. There'll be hubbub, but it's a good kind. But can you imagine that? You come down from this literal mountaintop experience, and the first thing you see is people arguing. You see the bad hubbub. And the people arguing. Yeah, I wonder what Jesus thought. We'll see what he thinks. Okay, verse 15. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, what are you arguing about with them? And someone from the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. And he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. He answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me.
All right. So the commentators, they really wrestle over this phrase, oh, faithless generation. So I'll raise the question to you, Matt. Who do you think Jesus is talking about there when he says the faithless generation?
Well, maybe everyone in some respects.
Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. That's what I thought, too. Great minds think alike. Well, you and I think alike, too. So.
Yeah.
So apparently not just great minds.
Great minds aside.
Yeah. So what do you mean by that? How would it fit everyone?
Well, you know, certainly, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Moses.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, they just saw Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. Yeah. But, you know, Moses goes up Mount Sinai, you know, back following the Exodus, and they despair as Moses is not physically there among
them.
Where's he gone? What's happening? And they make an idol for themselves, this golden calf. And here it seems to be similar to Jesus. Jesus isn't physically present there among them. He's up on this Mount of Transfiguration, and they seem to be beside themselves. What do we do? It's like we've been abandoned. Certainly not. So the disciples, everyone, they're waiting for him. It's so funny, you know, when he gets there, you know, they say, they were amazed, ran up to him, greeted him, and it's like they're just clamoring for him. So faithless in that respect that, you know, somehow God is absent among the, absent from the situation, because Jesus is on the mountain. No, certainly not.
And let me even push that a little bit further, because you use the word that they have translated here, amazing. But I think the word probably would be better translate kind of troubled or disturbed, because it's actually the same word that's used of Jesus when he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, take this cup away from me. The same term is used. Or when the women at the end of the Gospel of Mark come and find the tomb empty, that word's used of them again. So it's exactly what you said. Jesus is gone, and now maybe everything's gone to pot because the disciples can't cast out demons anymore. They used to do that. We remember them doing miracles, but now they, so you're right. It's kind of that fear like, oh, maybe things aren't going to be right anymore. And of course, we see the same kind of faithlessness in the Father himself as we read on in the text. But you're right. So the crowd, the disciples, everybody's kind of having their doubts about the whole Jesus power thing at this point. Go ahead.
Well, just Jesus having experienced what he just did, and Peter, James, and John with Jesus, you know, to see Jesus, a glimpse of his glory, to hear the voice of the Father, all these things. And then the very next thing they run into is people doubting. How frustrating that's going to be. Oh, faithless generation.
Well, and so, you know, probably before this, people are thinking, well, Jesus, he's the Almighty, you know, he's got power. But now it's kind of like, well, maybe not. Maybe there is an evil that is greater than Jesus and his disciples, because we got this guy possessed by a demon and nothing's happening. We can't seem to get the demon cast out. Well, let's keep on reading the story and we'll get to the mean Jesus part.
Okay. So Jesus, a faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And then verse 20, and they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and it fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth.
And you almost see a little defiance on the part of the demon here, like, oh yeah, here's Jesus. Well, let me show you what I can do, you know. And so he causes the boy to roll around and show what appears like some kind of epileptic seizures. So even at this point, it doesn't seem like the demon's going to give in to Jesus. He's just going to make things worse. Well, I don't know. Keep reading,
In verse 21, and Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him?
Now, right away here, I'm beginning to get a sense of the mean Jesus, because obviously, what did the Father want Jesus to do?
To heal his son.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's what Jesus does. You lay your hand on somebody. Or a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the gal that just touched his robe and she's healed. I mean, that's all we need, Jesus. Come on. You know, the disciples couldn't do it, but you can. And instead, Jesus wants to get into a conversation. You know, what was the question again?
How long has this been happening to him?
So what is, like, Jesus the doctor here? Yeah. So how long have you been having these symptoms? Does it hurt when you do this? You know what? What's this all about, Jesus? Just heal my son. I don't want to get into a lengthy discussion with you about what. And don't you know what's been happening to him? I thought you were God. I thought you knew. So I just, it kind of disturbs me here, but that Jesus has to have a discussion about it. Just heal the boy, Jesus. Yeah. What? Of course, it is the Jesus we encounter all the time, isn't it? It seems like he doesn't want to just jump in there and get the job done. He kind of delays. He putzes around for a while. What's this all about, Jesus? Okay. I'm just trying to tell you, it's just, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
Although I'm thinking that maybe what Jesus, well, read the man's answer.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he said, from childhood, and has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.
And I'm wondering if maybe the point of the question is to remind the man how impossible this situation is. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it is impossible. I'm sure he's taken his son to doctors. They didn't help. He took his son to the scribes and their pious prayers didn't help. He took his son to Jesus' disciples, which I'm thinking, can you do any better than that, than to go to the disciples of Jesus and they can't help? And I wonder if that isn't what Jesus is trying to help him see. You know, really, you're asking me to do something impossible here. This is the kind of demon that just can't be cast out. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of see that in the man's response, can't you? Because he says, if you can, you know, have compassion. So it's like, you know, maybe even Jesus, maybe you're right, Jesus. Maybe this is just beyond anybody's help. But if you can, have compassion and help us.
Yeah. The Father's maybe reminded just how desperate that situation is. That's been this years that's been going on. It's nothing new.
See, that's the thing too. Yeah. It's a long, long time situation. Why hasn't God stepped in and helped before this? So it's just really, really impossible. And I wanted to bring that up because I don't know if you've ever said this to your people, but I've said this to my people all the time. If you've got a problem and there's something you can do about it, quit bugging Jesus about it. Go do something about it. Honestly, you know, you got
because he's mean after all, right?
Well, no. Yeah, we're going to see how mean he can be. But yeah, seriously, yeah, you got high blood pressure. Well, then take some blood pressure medication about, you know. Yeah. Don't bug Jesus. If there's something you can do about it, go do it. But on the other hand, if the situation is impossible, if there's no human solution, then probably it would be a good thing to go pray to the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Have you ever advised your people that? Probably not.
Well, not in so many words. But, you know, I mean, at the same time, yeah, take it to Jesus in prayer. I mean, he's eager to listen, certainly.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but he's just going to say to you, have you taken
your blood pressure
medicine?
That's the response we're going to get, right? Well, it's kind of both, you know, pray, you know, and but at the same time, yeah, use the common sense that God's blessed you with and use the tools he's given to you, the blood pressure medicine, the doctors, the help that you need. Those are all gifts from God, too.
And maybe you're right. Maybe you should do that because, otherwise you're going to get this from Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says to this man. And if this is not incredibly mean, I don't know what is. Read what the man's response to him is.
So, okay, so verse 23, right? Okay, Jesus' response. Jesus says to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes.
All right. So he just really throws it back on the man. Like, it's my problem if I can. No, all things are possible if you believe, see? And it occurred to me that really is mean.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the man wants his son healed. And if Jesus had said, I want you to go and pray 12 hours a day, I'm sure the man would have said, I can do that. I can pray 12 hours a day. I can pray. I can pray all day long for my son. Or if Jesus had said, give something to the church, make a gift to the church. And I would give for my son. I would give 10%. I'd give half of everything I own for my son. But don't tell me to believe, because that's the one thing I cannot do, Jesus. But you see, now I was actually kind of laying a groundwork there when I said, if you can do something, do it. But if you can't, if it's impossible, then turn to Jesus. Because I think that's the point here. No, it is impossible for us to believe. So that is the time then we do turn and we pray to Jesus, which is exactly what the man does. Could you read the next verse? Because this is actually one of my favorite verses. We had a couple of your favorite verses when we were doing the top 10. If I were to choose one of the top 10 Bible verses, this would be the verse I would choose. You want to go ahead and read the next verse, man?
Yeah, this didn't make our list.
It didn't make our list. Was it on the list? Was it on the possibilities?
I don't even know if it made that list. But
okay.
if it was on the list, I'm sure it would have been in the top 10, Jeff.
We really do need to have an investigation of this whole favorite. I'm beginning to have suspicions about it.
No, but it is. I do love his response to you. Yeah. So the man responds. Jesus says, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. And then the man says, immediately the father of the child cries out, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yeah. And see that's just such a profound prayer. And I hope and pray that we all pray that the scriptures come to us and talk about faith. We Lutherans, we talk about faith all the time. Sola fides, faith alone.
Faith alone.
And I don't know if we really realize how hard that is, because I would suggest, see, that's what tickles me too. So the other Christian denominations, they don't like that. They don't like that faith alone stuff. Oh no, it's got to be faith in something, faith in your dedication and faith in your works, or faith in at least trying hard, or faith in being sincere. There's always some little thing that faith alone. No, that they say it's too easy.
Too easy.
And I'm thinking, you're not paying attention. This is the most incredibly hard thing in the world, to say someone to believe. That's exactly what we cannot do. But of course, that's the point. Faith, as Paul says, is the gift, right? We are justified by grace through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift.
Yeah.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
That wasn't our top 10 list.
That was. Well, actually, that was number one.
That was number one.
I don't forget. That's only been a week ago, but I remember that. So I just, this is the prayer that we would, but boy, Lord, we have so much unbelief. We have so much unbelief and we can't do anything about it except just turn to you and ask you for your help. And of course, that's what Jesus says. Although here's the thing, let me further talk about mean Jesus. Be careful when you pray to Jesus for faith, because you may get more faith than what you want. Okay? Because honestly, what...
So that's a bad thing?
Well, you may think it is. I'm telling you. Because what faith does this man want? He just wants faith enough to believe what? That his son...
That his son can be healed. That's, right. that's what he's coming for.
Let's see the faith that Jesus is going to
give
him.
Okay, here we go.
It's not what he bargained for.
Okay. Verse 25, and when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead."
Oh, yeah, thanks, Jesus. I wanted my boy to have the demon cast out of him. Yeah, you did that, and now he's dead. Yeah,
that is mean.
You're right. I just wanted him to heal, and now things have gone from bad to worse. And you know, we're kind of laughing about this, but see, I guess that's the other reason I love this story, because I went through this. I went through this with my first wife. She was terribly, horribly ill. The last few weeks of her life were just incredibly painful. And yet I remember when she died, when she gave up her last breath, there was this part of me that said, "Lord, we could have done it for a few more days. Just a couple more days that she would have still been alive." I know it was so hard for her, so hard for everybody, but a couple more days. Because when people die, it's so final, man.
Yeah.
It's over with and done. And I'm just thinking, that's what this man must have felt. He must have felt, "Oh my God, what now? Now I've even lost my son." But then read the next verse.
But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose.
There it is. And by the way, the word "arose" there is the word that's usually used for resurrection from the dead. So I'm thinking he really was dead. Mm. He really was dead. But that's the point. That's the faith that Jesus wanted to give this man. Not just the faith that he could heal people, but that he could actually take people that were dead and he can bring them back to life too. A far greater faith than the man was looking for, but it's the faith that God wanted to give him and that Jesus wants to give you and me. Because sooner or later, Matt, we're going to be doing this. We're going to be standing at the graveside of somebody we love if we haven't done it already. And at that point, that's when Jesus wants to give us this really profound faith. He's not being mean. He just wants to give us this profound faith that someday he's going to come back. He's going to take that person's hand, lift them up, and they're going to be resurrected. And just as this son and his father are reunited in their arms, so someday we'll be reunited with our loved ones as well. Yeah. But that's what it's all about. He may seem mean at times, but what he wants to do is really give us this profound faith. Could we have one last quick thing?
Sure.
Go jump to the end of this story, because the disciples are puzzled. Verse 29.
Yeah, so they go to the house, and the disciples ask, "Why could we not cast it out?" And Jesus said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer."
And I just wanted to conclude by saying, see, again, in our sinful nature, we still want Jesus to tell us to do something, right? And really the point of it is, no, you can't do anything, but let me take care of it. Let me give you the faith, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so here we're thinking, okay, so we got to know. Don't you think what he really means here when he says this kind can only be cast out by prayer, he's saying this one can only be cast out by God.
Yeah.
So turn to him, mm-hmm. call upon him, even as when you find yourself full of doubt, turn to the Lord, say, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." I think that's how he wraps us all up, that there's only one solution for any of our problems. And by the way, you didn't like it when I said, don't pray.
Don't pray.
And you're right to not like it, because everything's an impossible situation for us, isn't it,
yeah.
Matt? We think we can solve it. We think we can take the blood pressure medicine and that'll take care of all our problems. Well, take your blood pressure medication, but obviously that's not going to solve all of your health issues or all of your problems. So everything, every day you should go to the Lord and keep saying, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." Okay.
Yeah.
So that's my message for today, Matt. Anything else you want to say?
That's great. The man gets more than his bargains for. He gets not only his son's health back, but he even gets his son back from the dead. And that powerful example that Jesus is the resurrection and the life.
Yeah. So if Jesus seems to be mean to you people, it's just because he's trying to get you to call out for him to pray to him, and he will give you even greater things than what you've prayed for.
Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.